Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. I'm your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Ron Galletti. He is the founder of and owner of Born to Die TV and Magazine, and also he's the lead singer of Nasty Savage. So if you would like to call in at 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room, and we're going to read it on the air. Ron, welcome to the program.
Tim, it's great to be here. Core Business, what a great concept you have, talking about business, because ultimately in life it's all about business and where you go. It's not always where you start, it's where you finish. And business is such a core part of our world, and they don't teach enough of it in school these days, you know. So it's great to be on, and we are all born to die, but my show, my TV show is Born to Ride. Right.
Oh, okay. Born to Ride.
No problem.
I'm sorry about
that.
Born to Ride.
It's a concept.
TV and Magazine.
Yeah, it's the life and times of motorcycles and the people who ride them.
Perfect. I guess just to begin with, kind of tell us your story. How did you get started? You know, you started as I was reading through all your information. But kind of tell us how you got started as being a lead singer for a rock group.
Well, you know, it's a great story because back in the 80s, I was in high school getting ready to graduate. I had the good look as a, you know, as a, with the long hair and a ladies man, you know, and you know, I've always wanted to be kind of a rock star. And then I got into this heavy metal, the new wave of heavy metal coming over from England and Europe in the 80s. It was about 82, and I wanted to be in a band. And all of a sudden, a friend goes, "Hey, I know a band that wants a singer." They had a female singer named, the band was called Nightmare. So I was like, I think I can do it. You know, I was kind of shy, but I said, you know what, I think I can do it. So they said, yeah, come on over and try out. So I went over and tried out, and I sang like two songs over and over. And then I said, okay, goodbye. And then I never heard back from the guys. You know, I'm like, damn. And then I happened to see him a couple of weeks later at a keg party, because we used to have keg parties back in the day out in the fields and pastures here in Florida. So I went up to the guys and said, look, do you guys want me to be your singer or not? And they go, yeah, we do. I said, okay, let's get together on Monday, and I got a game plan for you, okay? And so Monday came, we came together. I said, look, the name of the band is Nasty Savage. I said, I am going to be Nasty. I'm going to be Nasty Ronnie. I said, we're going to put our money together. We're going to do a demo tape of original music, four songs, because the record company's not going to listen to 10 or 12. We're going to do four songs, original, put our money together. Then we're going to market it, and within 1 year, we're going to be signed to a record label. We're going to be touring, and we're going to be getting fan mail from all over the world. So they're like, oh, man, that sounds great. But first I knew we're going to do all that stuff, get the demo going and all that, but I knew we had to create a buzz where we live, because if you can create a buzz in your hometown, you can replicate that in every town in America and all over the world. A record company will notice that. And this was back in the 80s, 83, where there was cell phones, internet, email, Facebook. You know, so it was up against a challenge. So right then I thought, how do I market this band? Obviously in a direct market. So I started researching. And back then there was a lot of fanzines and underground radio stations, and this heavy metal epidemic was growing in San Francisco with Metallica and Slayer and these bands, you know, and Iron Maiden was out there and Judas Priest and people like that. So I said, you know what, I'm going to start finding out. And I had just had, you know, I was just a singer. I really wasn't even a singer. I just pretended to be one because I wanted to be one. The guys were the musicians, right? So I said, I'm going to take on the marketing of this. So I started printing up cassette tapes and more and more and more. And I'd look in the back of magazines, Hit Parader magazines, and I'd send it to pen pals who was in the heavy metal. And I'd send them to them because I knew that one kid would get it and tell all his friends in his little circle. Then they'd start ordering the demo tapes, and I just did that times 100, and it started coming in. Then I started every concert we had or gig we had, I'd have these photographers there and take the pictures of the mayhem that Nasty Savage created. And then I'd have the photos, the demo tape, and a little bio sheet, and I started sending them out to all these magazines and radio stations around the country and worldwide, licking stamps, taking bags to the post office one by one, getting them weighed and sending them. And they were really dynamic photographs and things like that. And then I'd say, order the demo. After that, we ended up selling over 3,000 demo tapes. It was the most traded demo tape on the market. And every day I would be working as a shop foreman. I worked at this production warehouse building lead-lined drywall and for radiation rooms, and I was a shop foreman. Every day I'd call my mom and say, Mom, do we get any fan mail? And because it came to my house in Brandon, Florida, my mom goes, oh, you got 15 letters today. You got 20 letters. She goes, oh, today you got something from Metal Blade Records in California. And it was Metal Blade Records calling Brian Slagle saying, I want to put you on Metal Massacre, and we want to make you have your own album, Nasty Savage, the very first one. So I was like, oh, man, it's time we're going to be big stars. You know, little do we know, there's a lot more to do. But in the marketing stage, you know, you don't have to have $1 million. You don't have to have, you know, a giant backer. You just have to have heart, determination. You have to have a dream and vision. And that's what I had. You know, I knew we were going to create something crazy with this. I would send, like, a radio station a demo tape, right? But on the end of it, I said, oh, there's a lot of blank tape left. I said, so I'm going to cut a promo. This is Nasty Ronnie from Nasty Savage here on KPFT Houston, Texas Radio. And here's a song of our new demo tape, Wage of Mayhem, called Unchained Angel. You know, so I knew if I cut that promo and put it on the tape, after the DJ listened to the four songs, then they heard that demo, they heard the promo, they'd be playing the heck out of that stuff. And it just took off, man. We got signed. We started touring. We toured in Europe in 88. We played behind the Iron Curtain in Poland. We went to Brazil. There were 700 people at the airport there. You know, it was just incredible. So we started off, and we just took off, and we did it till about 1990. One of the last tours we did in 1990 was 60 shows in 65 days with DRI and Sick of It All, two hardcore bands. We played all over the country, from L.A., Chicago, Detroit, New York, the Fox Theater in Atlanta, Texas. And, you know, one of our favorite places to play was Texas. It was big time out there. But it was all about having the dream and marketing and promotion and keeping it like a business and keeping it like the core business that you're talking about today.
Okay, great. Well, let's back up for a second. How did you get the name for your group? It just came to you?
Well, you know, I was always a word man. I was always influenced by people like Jim Morrison and, you know, writers and poetry and things like that. And being a word man, better than a bird man, I like the name Savage, and I try to find a name that went with it. Savage, Savage, Savage. We are Savage. I'm Savage. Nasty, Nasty. I am Nasty. It's about nastiness, and everybody's nasty. So I said, Nasty Savage, Nasty Ronnie, singer of Nasty Savage. And then I have to live up to that moniker, and we have to live up to that name. And when we came in the concert, the very first concert was in the backyard of some guy's house. His mom and dad went out of town, and we were in a suburban neighborhood here in Florida. And we went out one day with the bass player Fred's van, and we actually stole a bunch of wood from a job site, and we built a stage. And we built this big stage in the guy's side yard. And this is in the middle of a neighborhood now. And you know, people just couldn't believe Nasty Savage is going to play and this and that, this new band. And they were there, but they didn't know what they were in for. I came through the crowd on a Harley Davidson back then. A buddy of mine had one. And I rode a Harley through the crowd, parked it right in front of the stage, parted the sea, got up on stage and started jamming. And from the very first show, one of my big gimmicks was smashing TV sets on stage. One of my idols and influences was Wendy O. Williams from the Plasmatics. And she was an influential woman that really was shock and would shock and awe people. So I have these TV sets, and I'd smash my, throw them up in the air, smash them on my chest. Being a wrestler, kind of a background with the wrestling thing that I do, I'd act that out, and it'd be a very good theatrical show, more than Alice Cooper, more than Kiss, you know, but maybe a little mixture of all that kind of stuff. But it was mayhem and metal, and the kids were digging it. You know, they needed a release.
Yeah.
We took them on a trip, man, and I still remember that day. The police came. And the sheriffs came and stopped it because the neighbors were complaining. They walked right up to the stage. We stopped playing. And as soon as the cop went to talk to me, I said, "Do it." And we started playing Breaking the Law by Judas Priest. Down, 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 breaking the law, breaking the law. And in that defiance, I think we just started an epidemic because people said, "We like this. This is awesome, man. It's rebellious. It's against authority. You know, this is nasty, savage." And just after that gig, the Wage of Mayhem was the name of our demo tape, and I had that vision. You know, I had the vision of creating a wage of mayhem, mayhemic destruction, and just having fun with it and taking people on a trip. And you know, and right now, some 25, 30 years later, we're playing tomorrow, a Saturday night, at a place called the Crowbar in Ybor City, and there's people flying in from Denmark. In Holland, and there's people coming from Pennsylvania, Detroit. They're coming from North Carolina, West Virginia. They already have 150 tickets pre-sold, and that's unheard of. And, you know, through the years, we've done a couple of reunion concerts, and in 05 we did another album, and, you know, it's really crazy. It's just crazy stuff. You know, people can go to BornToRide.com and click the TV, and there's a video there of Nasty Savage, of the story that Channel 10 News here did on us, like a 10-minute story. It tells pretty much our whole story.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, WSD. You know, yeah, I saw that online. Yeah.
You know, we played in Poland in front of 20,000 people in 1988 when it was still behind the Iron Curtain. You know, it was just amazing that people around the world got into this heavy metal thing. And it wasn't just Nasty Savage. It was heavy metal. But we just did our thing, and we were very different sounding, and because of that, I think our music and stuff went over people's heads. You know, we didn't sound like Slayer or Metallica or this band or that band. But after Nasty Savage came, it created the heavy metal capital of the world right here in Tampa, Florida. Brandon was known as the heavy metal capital of the world. Bands like Destruction and Sepultura, big bands, Deicide, Morbid Angel, they would all come here and record, and it spawned bands like Obituary, Death, Morbid Angel, Deicide, bands who went on the go big time, bigger than Nasty Savage ever was. We influenced those guys, and it's really good to know that, you know, and it's good to know that we're still passionate about playing again as well.
Wow. So when you... If you go back to the very beginning, and I remember that rock age of, you know, you had this big peak of the 70s, and we rolled through the 80s. And tell us, what is heavy metal in your definition?
Heavy metal is just, I coined the phrase heavy metal thunder in Born to Be Wild from Steppenwolf. Mm-hmm. And ever since that coined the phrase in the 60s, we needed a new kind of form of metal, and people like Deep Purple and, Led Zeppelin and with the blues and that stuff brought it in. And then this new wave of British heavy metal came over, and, you know, thanks to people like Judas Priest, Scorpions from Germany, and it just started spawning off more aggressive sounding music, and then heavy metal just broke loose in the 80s. And at that time, you know, now there's thousands of bands a month coming out, you know, so when you release something, it's a lot harder. Back then, I mean, it was pretty diverse, and you just started doing it. And you know, we were a marketing machine. I ended up on the cover of probably about 15 different countries, from different countries all over the world, covers of their metal magazines. But you know why? Because I sent them the stuff that they needed to put it in there. A thing about marketing is common sense. If you send you got a niche market, right? It could be anything, roofing, it could be automotive, motorcycles. But if you're talking heavy metal, Go to the direct market. We're talking core business here, Tim. Core business. That's mm-hmm. what you're all about. That's what I'm about, man. It was marketing. It was Nasty Ronnie working 9 to 5. Nasty Savage. It was 9 to 5 marketing back in the day, even. But you went to the direct markets, and if I was to send a fanzine, because I put myself in their place. Hey, I'm a publisher. What do I need to do a story? Oh, here's a big package that just came in. It's some killer photographs. Easier. It's killer photographs. It's a demo tape music, and it's the information I need, you know, and they would publish it. So I got smart, and I said, you know what? I'm going to write reviews of this band I just saw named Nasty Savage. The singer was crazy. The fans loved him. These guys need to get signed. And here's some pictures signed Judy Stevens. I wrote that, and I sent it to some places, and it got published. The record executives read that stuff. So you know what? There's no rules in marketing and promotion. As long as you're not hurting anybody and you're not breaking the law, don't have any limitations, and don't wait for someone else to do it for you, because you got to go out and make it happen yourself. But heavy metal is just it's a music that came, and it's sort of like rock and roll, and now it's never going to die.
Wow. So any words that you would have as a group coming in to this particular medium, want a contract, want to go touring, and want need a manager, what advice would you give a band that's coming up in the scenes, what they need to do or what they need to be aware of?
Well, they probably need to get another career. No. really what it's about, first off, is a core of people. You got to have like brotherhood. You got to believe in each other, believe in your music, and don't let anybody tell you, don't do it like that, do it like this, or change your music and sound like this. And if it's not in your heart, don't even try it. You know, I've seen bands that have been brothers and loved each other and had a dream, a vision, and they worked hard playing gigs enough to get a record company involved, interested. The record company goes, you know what, we'll sign you, but you got to get rid of your drummer. And everybody looks at the drummer and goes, bye, you know, you're gone, we're going to be rock stars. So they take the money, or they take that opportunity. A year later, they didn't make it. They're back to ham and egg frying at McDonald's or somewhere. And what they really did is they lost a great relationship with a great friend and someone that they had a dream with. And they tried to take the money, and it didn't work, because that record company didn't even, you know. And again, finding a manager, there's plenty of managers out there and people who will take your money or try to make money off you, but they don't care either. This day and age, you don't even need management. You don't need a record company. You can do it all yourself through marketing and your own website and distributing Facebook, international, you know, the internet's everywhere. There's, you know, so you don't have to have distribution companies, and you can do it yourself and be smart about it. And because record companies ultimately just rip you off, you know. But it all comes back to passion. If you have talent, if you have a look, an image, but you could have a $1 million look, you could have $1 million sound, but if you don't have common sense to market and promote it, you'll just be another one of those guys that play air guitar in the mirror and never amount to anything. People would tell us, you guys suck. You're no good. Nasty Savage, y'all are no good at all. And our local big musicians that were here that we just blew right by, they're like, oh, you guys will never make it, you know. And I said, yeah, just keep watching us. Now we're drawing, you know, 1,000 people, and they're paying premium price, and they're, you know, thrashing and headbanging with a big slam pit and mosh pit the whole time, and just they know our songs, they're buying our music. You know, don't let anybody tell you you're not going to do it, no matter what you do in life.
How do you write your songs?
How I used to write, because I wasn't a musician at all. You know, I don't even know how to read music or nothing. So what they would do is kind of write the music. And, here you go, Ron. I go, wow, okay, I get to put lyrics to this. And then I'd write lyrics to it. Sometimes some of the guys would, a few times they'd write their own song with lyrics and say, here you go. But I'd prefer my own lyrics. And in the beginning days in the 80s, we're writing about thunder and lightning and fire and, you know, fighting and, you know, mayhem. And And then I started getting more, you know, philosophical in my lyrics and more poetryized and, you know, a little more meaningful stuff. And, you know, an album like Indulgence or Abstract Reality, you know, or mm-hmm. Distorted Fanatic and, you know, different songs that had a lot of meaning in the irrational penetration point. You know, stuff that if you really read it, it'll make you wonder, wow, does this mean this or does it mean that? And I'm a word guy, so I'll put the words out there. And I always kind of wrote in an abstract form. So there could be a couple of meanings to different songs. But it's ultimately about reality and reality of people and how we relate to each other, like the human factor. The human factor is in everything we do. You're going down the street, someone's cutting you off in traffic. You put your blinker on. Do they stop? Do they let you in? Or do they speed up like a NASCAR redneck kind of guy? You know, when you walk in the post office, does the person coming out keep his head down? Or you look him in the eye and say, how you doing today? You know, it's about people. And that's what I started writing about, the relationships with people, your passions, you know, what we're all about. Sure, it was kind of black and dark, but it was also had a message. It was a message of positiveness and breaking through to the other side.
Wow. And what do you see rock today? Heavy metal. We're going through a transition of 90s. Things start to change. You have a lot of independent groups coming up now. Where do you see where we are today from, you know, from the 90s to what we are in this new decade?
Well, you know, it's all evolution. It kind of keeps coming back and going forward and kind of revolving. And if you're true to what you think, you're going to be successful. You'll find your niche. You know, there's a lot of commercialism and, you know, the people on the radio stuff, but that's dying out too. They're taking away DJs. They're all automated and animated and, you know, it's all talk radio and not music anymore. And all they're playing is oldies because there's no new stuff. And you got hip hop and rap, and that's become $1 million sellers as well. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good if you're out there doing something and creating a buzz and doing it. But heavy metal, you know, people like Judas Priest are still out there. Scorpions are still out there. You got these bands that are still doing it. Foghat, I just worked with Foghat a few weeks ago. They're Iron Men of rock and roll. And you can't forget about your roots and respecting who was there before you. And so it really is what it is. And there's a niche for heavy metal in Europe. And, you know, it's coming back in America. And, you know, people like Metallica did wonders for heavy metal. You know, what they did and playing on the Grammys and $1 million sellers and being on the radio, and it just helped heavy metal so much. And it also commercialized it too, where you got people like Rat or Poison that were kind of hairband heavy metal, or then you got now people like Jackal and that are out there doing it. And it, you know, it's just a matter of when it's your time, just go in and play, you know, run a touchdown if they give you the ball. I know one thing, when I got on stage and it's time for Nasty Savage, I pity the band that would play after us, because that stage would be a total wreck. It'd be in pieces, and the fan would be, you know, ready to go home because they were so tired. Because, you know, we made them react to us. We got in their face, and it's about old school heavy metal right now. When I get on stage Saturday night, I'm going to say it's time. It's time to go back. Back to the old school. Is everybody in? And they're going to start going nuts. They're going to go nuts because
they will.
It's time for the old school, and Nasty Savage bringing it. We're bringing it like never before. Nasty Ronnie just turned 50 years old, and they tried to say this is the last Nasty Savage concert ever. I said, you know what? If it's the last Nasty Savage concert, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to do it. So we're going to do this again and again, and it's never going to die. It's never going to die. Heavy metal will never die.
No, it won't. We're going to take a break real quick, and then we're going to start talking about Born to Ride TV and magazine.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Well, Ron, I guess now we start talking about Born to Ride TV and magazine. On Born to Ride, how did you come up with that concept?
Well, I mean, that's a great question because, again, you know, after I got on Nasty Savage kind of in the 90s, I got involved in professional wrestling at Universal Studios mm-hmm. with a guy named Eddie Mansfield. I ended up co-producing over 200 episodes of the IWF wrestling. I was the mm-hmm. nasty one. I took my character Nasty Ronnie into the wrestling world as Nasty Ronnie, and I became a wrestling manager. And I had the Nasty organization, and you know, I was the villain and the bad guy. And I was really behind the scenes too as a writer and a booking agent to book talent and create new talent. And I learned a lot. And one night I was at a dinner party with my wife. And who was with me the day that I tried out for Nasty Savage in a little Pinto we were driving? I said, "Hey, stop here. I want to try out for a band." And she was, you know, from then on, we were in high school, kind of, we met in high school. So she, you know, I went, I did this heavy metal, and we went into the wrestling deal. And I was at a dinner party, and she was an insurance agent, and she said, "Oh, this is my husband, blah, 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 and this is Roger. He's a CEO of Nestle." I go, "Nestle Crunch?" He goes, "Yeah, and Nestle Foods." I said, "You know what? We need to put your Nestle Crunch bar logo on the center of our ring and call it the Nestle Crunch of the Week on IWF Wrestling." Within about a week later, I already had a proposal, and I got like a $25,000 advertising budget from this guy for 13 weeks of a TV episode. So right then, a little thing went off my head, ding, TV, marketing, promotion, sales, business, creating concepts, visuals, but also giving people value for their money, giving people, you know, a return on investment is what they need. And being creative and servicing an account. But you know what? I watched my boss piss that sponsorship away, and he didn't service them right. So when it was 13 weeks later, they didn't re-up. And anyway, I kept on going with the thing, and finally that kind of fizzled out. I got out of there, and a lot of my friends started riding motorcycles. I used to have a bike in high school, but I got rid of it, and so I go, "You know what, all my friends are riding. It's time for me to get a Harley-Davidson motorcycle and start riding and having fun. Get your motor running, get out on the highway." You know, it's like, yeah. So I got a bike. my wife got one. She goes, "I'll get one too. I used to ride." And we started getting into this riding and adventure, and I was like, man, these people are passionate about what they do here. I'm passionate. We put our bikes in bike shows, and we'd get, like, upset if I didn't win the bike show. Damn it. Oh, that's it. I didn't get a trophy, a $5 trophy, a $10 trophy. I'm pissed. Put more chrome on it or something. So then I said, you know what? I got to stop and think here. I'm passionate. They're passionate. There's a market for this. It's an explosion of evolution from blue-collar people to white-collar to people of color, all colors, all races. You know, women make up more than a third of the market. Let me research this. How many registered motorcycle owners are in my county? Boom, in this county. Boom. How many are in the state of Florida? Boom. I went, oh, my God, Born to Ride was born. I got the BornToRide.com back in the day. You know, I got the copyright to the merchandise, to the magazine, a television show. I had a vision. So I went to Daytona Beach. Actually, I was doing a wrestling show on my own in Ybor City in Florida, Tampa, and a camera crew came in there for an entertainment TV show. And I said, hold on a minute. How can I get a copy of the tape? And he gave me a business card, and it was a guy named Fast Forward Video Production. I said, I said, I'm going to call this guy. So I called this guy, and he had this little shop in the mall. So I went there, and this guy was from Argentina. And I go, hey, man, I want to do a biker show. He goes, oh, a biker show will never work. It will never work. I said, okay, hold on a minute. Let me take your cameraman to Bike Week in 1995. And if I can get my show on the air, you have the production budget. He goes, okay. So I had a vision. I wanted to, I don't know if you remember the Endless Summer poster from the 70s. It was a silhouette of a guy with a surfboard, but the big sun, all you could see is his silhouette. For some reason, I wanted to have a motorcyclist with a silhouette behind him. So I said, we got to be in Daytona Beach for Bike Week by 7 a.m. when the sun comes up. You could be at my house. We're going. I get there at 7 a.m., and there's no one around. I'm like, damn, what the hell am I going to do? All of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. Oh, here comes a biker. I stop, stop. I said, dude, within 5-10 minutes, we were out on the beach. I got that shot of the sun coming up with the biker sitting there, did an interview. Next thing you know, I'm on Main Street doing interviews with people later in the day. I go, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. I didn't even have a sponsor, but I had a vision. So the next thing I did, I said, okay, let's put this thing together. We filmed, we did this, we did that. Talked to people, potential sponsors. I was marketing 101, baby. I didn't know jack about motorcycles. I didn't know nothing about them except to turn the thing and make it go. You know, I didn't know anything about nothing. But, you know, that didn't stop me either because I was going to learn. But I knew I had something going with a niche like I do at Nasty Savage some 20 years, 10 years before that. Next thing, I got back in the 80s, it was like the 95, still not a lot of internet, voicemail, none of that stuff. I started faxing every shot. I got incorporated, I got a bank account, and I got my name, Born to Ride with the logo. So I started faxing every shop in town. It's coming, Born to Ride TV. And I kept faxing them. I'd fax them every week. Finally, I got the demo tape, and I called him. I said, yeah, this is Ron Galletti from Born to Ride. I'd like to meet with you, talk about my – oh, yeah, we heard about your show. Yeah, because I was sending you the faxes about it. So I just started with an army of advertisers, and, you know, that was going on 17 years ago, and I've never looked back since. I've just produced the show every week, week after week after week after week. Got a new production company. About the time the President Clinton stuff happened with Monica Lewinsky, the main guy who was on David Letterman and Jay Leno and Saturday Night Live, the President Clinton lookalike, lived right here in Tampa. I had him on my TV show talking about, this is the new era of Born to Ride and, you know, all this stuff. I'd like to welcome my good friends Ron and Deb Galletti. And he looked exactly like him, and it was just unbelievable timing. And you know, it just took off, man. And I just haven't looked back since. We kept developing it. And, you know, you have heart and passion for something. The motorcycle community does great things. Really what I do now, and I've always done, is magnify the great things that bikers do and people associated with motorcycling does. And it's a very easy job. And you know what? Bikers are so diverse. It's such a great group of people. They do so many good things, and they come from all walks of business as well. And they're educated. They like to read. They like to be informed. They like to travel. They like adventure. They love to laugh, but we'll make them cry. We want that emotion, that roller coaster of emotion. And the show's like Cops, man. It's the fastest half hour on TV. And we get them. And you know, we just keep them because it's a niche marketplace. And it's not about me. I learned this, too. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about the biker community. You don't have to be a superstar. But we've had Willie Nelson on the show. We've had Hulk Hogan, you know, Steven Tyler, the guys from Orange County Choppers, the Tuttles, Charlie Daniels, you know, all kinds of celebrities, David Carradine, you know, people, you know, just all kinds of people we've had on the show. And, you know, those are big stars and stuff. But the biggest stars and the things that make me feel the best is when we can help a kid that needs a kidney or a little girl that needs cancer treatment or help the Shriners Hospital magnify their greatness, and that helps burn children. And, you know, it's really, what do we do in life to make a difference in other people's lives? I think that's the key. It's not about us. If you keep pushing forward and helping others, things fall into you and things come back to you. If you work hard, you can't work all day if you don't start in the morning. There's people that get up at 1 o'clock, go, I'm going to try to do something today. You know, it just, you got to work, man. It's all about ethics. It's all about your beliefs. It's all about family. It's all about diversifying what you need to do and prioritizing it. And that's what I've been doing, man. And I started publishing a magazine, and, you know, it's just, I'm blessed because I've got a good niche. I got a great staff, which you got to fire up your staff. You got to fire up your people. You got to communicate. You know, it's all about core business is about communication.
Wow. So what do you think is the attraction for people besides the freedom? I guess when you get on a bike, you're on that open road, and you just have, like, the total freedom and the peacefulness of the ride. What's the attraction that you think people really really want to? Some people want to be bikers, but they're just afraid. What advice would you give to them to kind of step out and face them?
Well, sometimes it's like that one thing says, if I had to explain it, you wouldn't understand it. You know, but you're right, and it's about freedom. If you could coin the phrase, it's about freedom. It's about personalization of freedom, because you can take any kind of motorcycle, design it how you want, buy different parts and paint it and do whatever the heck you want, man. I've seen bikes with big trikes with Chevrolet Corvette motors in them, and I've seen these little scooters. And I said, yeah, we just did a feature on one. You could go to BornToRide.com and look at past issues. We have over 200 episodes of Born to Ride TV on there. You know, for 3 years in a row, I went to the Playboy Mansion in L.A. with our attorney, Fran Hosh, 866 Law Fran, and she flew us out there and rented the bikes for us. We rode the Pacific Coastline. And you know, until you've seen America on a motorcycle, there's a company called Eagle Rider. You can rent motorcycles anywhere in the world that you go. Get your motorcycle endorsement. You can learn how to ride. The coolest thing now is I was at a bike night the other night, and this middle-aged older woman, maybe about 65, came up to me and said, you're Ron Galletti from Born to Ride. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've been watching your show for so long, and I never thought I could be a biker. She goes, because I work in a bank and I'm kind of high up. I said, yeah, that's cool. She goes, but come here. And she grabbed my shirt. Look, this is my bike, and this is my husband's bike. And they were fired up, man. I could feel their energy, you know. And it's like they just changed their whole lifestyle. They're taking it to another. Now they're going to start traveling, and then they buy an RV, and they pull the bike, so they ride. You know, when you go to a place like Sturgis, South Dakota, for the Sturgis Rally, and you're riding through Custer State Park, and there's buffalo out there and mountain goats, and, you know, just, you know, you're in the middle of something that, gosh, and you see Mount Rushmore or Crazy Horse, or you go to the town called Deadwood, you know, and then you pull over and you just start talking to a person because he's on a bike and you never met him before, but you have something in common. And it could be any color skin, young or old, we all have something in common with them. We're brothers on the highway. We're bikers, man. And where you come from and what you do, it makes no difference because you're sitting on a motorcycle. And when you're riding it and it just rained and the sun comes back, you can smell the road. You can smell the pine trees. You can smell a dead animal. I mean, you can smell your senses. It's about riding. And then you can go fast. You can go slow. You can be safe. You know, but you can travel and adventure and ride with your buddy, and you're riding and you go through this great valley of, you know, in Colorado or Florida on the beaches. You just look over to your brother next to you, your friend, and you know what we're thinking. This is awesome. And you just say, man, this is a great day. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be, you know, doing what we're doing right now. And, you know, it's not for everybody, but more and more, it's just more and more people are learning how to ride, and I love it, man. It's great because it's when I first started Born to Ride, it was more hardcore, certain kind of riders. It was import bikes or Jap bikes or Harleys, and you know, I tried to, you know, mix everybody together and say it's about Born to Ride, not what you ride. It's you're riding. It doesn't matter. And we tried to perpetuate positive images for bikers. And, you know, if we don't do it, I don't know who will. You know, it really upset me when I first started Born to Ride, and we're doing a helmet protest ride where we got to ride without helmets in Florida and ride over the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. And then, you know, it was the police escorted ride or something. And all the news people were there and covering it. And so I wanted to see how they covered it. And on the news, it was about a 10-second thing. It said, bikers raids, protests, and block traffic for hours on the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. And then they showed an image of two highway patrol guys kind of running across the street, the highway, for a biker that was on the side of the road. The biker was broke down. They made it look like they were running over there to beat him over the head like Rodney King or something, you know. And I was like, that is bull crap. I said they didn't block and protest or nothing. It was about letting everybody know that you can ride with helmets or without helmets. So I covered the same event. And, you know, I had a half-hour show about it, and I talked the pros and the cons about it. It wasn't like, we need to ride without helmets. Jeb Bush signed the bill, and we ended up being able to ride without helmets, and deaths have not gone up because of it. So it's about the individuals. And I had Jeb Bush on my TV show as well. And he goes, this is Jeb Bush. You're watching Born to Ride. You know, it was pretty cool. But, you know, also we did a big charity run for Children's Hospital. And the big news media was there, too. And all of a sudden I watch it on the news. 5 seconds. Bikers today raised $15,000 for all children's charities. Next story, dog bites man or something like that. Now, you know, if that same motorcycle group would have wrecked on the highway and had a blood all over the asphalt, that would be a 10-minute story. You know, so we always try to put it back in perspective and highlight and magnify the great things that motorcyclists do, because it's so very important to magnify the most giving group of people in America right now. And they don't just do it for toy runs. They do it year long. Look at our magazine right now. There's probably 5 or 6 different charity events that we're involved with helping others. And we want to perpetuate that.
Well, if we leave anything with people today, what would you like the last words you'd like to leave people with?
Well, when you're talking core business, everything in business has to relate to business. You know, it has to relate to communication, having a plan, having priorities, knowing your niche in the marketplace. And if you're doing any kind of service or sales or marketing, you have to give back and you have to add value to who you are. And it's about people. If you can reach out and help someone have a great day, help someone with their business, help someone with their future, it'll come back to you. And I think that's the key to success, is reaching out and going beyond you know, your means and helping other people's dreams. If you can help other people's dreams and you do good and have fun with it, things will happen, man. But it's all about common sense, too. Everybody thinks you have to have a AAA college degree or something to be successful. I got college kids graduating college, and they come to work for me, and they might know how to push the buttons and move it to the right and turn it blue, but they don't know how to keep a job. They don't know how to have a company's back. They don't understand the philosophy of business, the science of what it takes, the formulas. You don't learn formulas in a science lab. You learn formulas by common sense and getting out and rolling your sleeves up. And that's about it, man. It's really just being a common, sensible person, listening, communication. And if you work for someone, work hard for that person, because they'll reward you if you work hard. If you're a loafer, you're going to get called out on it, and you're not going to move up in life. When I hire someone, I hire leaders and winners and people who have my back.
Absolutely. And if you had one song that says who you are, what song would that be?
Oh, for my band?
Just something that speaks to you that says, I'm from either, something that speaks of you.
It's hard to say, you know, because there's just so many things that I take in from all different types of music and everything. And if I had to pinpoint it, you kind of put me on the spot there. You know, it's just that, I don't know, Sly and the Family Stone, We Are Everyday People, or, you know, something like that, or motivational stuff, you know, just something motivational. When I watch TV, I don't watch those half-hour burn-your-mind shows that just are worthless. I go to documentary, and I try to learn stuff and things that I like to do. You know, I want to write a book, not only about what Born to Ride or Ron Galletti or Nasty Savage has done, but I want to write a book that says I made $1 million off other people's junk, because I love to go to garage sales and find the stuff that's out there, or buy storage units. And you know, I'm a picker, man, and I've always been, but I could have a museum right now with all the stuff I have. But I think I'm going to write the book, I Made $1 million Off Other People's Junk, before I make $1 million, and then people will read it, and that will help me make $1 million off of it. So that's the kind of person I am. You know, I want to do that. And one other book I wanted to write is, I Used to Sit Down in the Shower. That means I was so tired that I would sit down when I took a shower with one of those seats in the shower, because I gained weight and things like that. And now I'm changing my life to get better, healthy, and more, you know. And I'm going to write that book to say, I used to sit in the shower, and now look at me now. I got abs again. You know, so in life, you have to keep moving forward. And you want to be an inspiration to others and your children, and it's about family. And, you know, when it all comes down to it, business and marketing, whatever it is, really, who do we really have? It comes back to our family, blood. You're not going to get many other people to go out of the way for you than your family does, and unless you got special people. And I'm really worried about this generation that's coming up now, because I don't know if they have your back, if they have that. I don't know. There's just something going on there. We really have to worry about that. Or, you know, I'd like to know, if you're out there listening, let me know it's okay out there, that you have good employees that are young kids that believe and have your back and work hard for you. And, you know, it's just, you know, the generations, from our father's generation to the guys who fought in Iwo Jima, the Marines who took all those islands in Saipan and fought the Japanese and the Germans, to the Vietnam vets. And, you know, it's another thing. You can't forget your veterans and people like that, too. And you know, there's a lot of good people overseas right now, not home with their families. And a lot of people take everything for granted. So get up off your ass, work hard, and, you know, just make things happen for yourself. Because if I waited for a band to make it, being a band guy without working hard, we never would have made it. We never would have been put out 7 albums and, you know, doing what we did. And, you know, it's all about who you are.
Absolutely. And what's your website address again?
Yeah, man, people could go to Born to Ride. That's borntoride.com. And, like, there's hundreds of videos there to see, the TV show episodes. There's links to Nasty Savage. There's videos of my wrestling days cutting promos at Universal Studios. And it's all there. And you know what? Anybody that emails me that heard this, they can go to borntoride.com and just click there's information links. Or my personal email is RG, like Ron Galletti, RG@borntoride.com. If you mention that you heard me on The Core Business with Tim today, I'll send you a free Born to Ride t-shirt and a free magazine. I mean, I want to hear from you guys out there. Share your core business stories with Born to Ride. Share your core business stories with somebody. Share your stories. That's what it's all about.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you coming on the program, Ron. Thank you so very much for giving us a lot of information. And good luck with your concert this weekend.
Man, I appreciate it, Tim. Shoot me a link so I can check this out when it's up online too, man.
Will do. I'll do that shortly. I really appreciate it again, Ron.
All right, man.
Thank you
very much.
On.
You guys keep up the great work. You got a great show here, and keep doing what you're doing, man. You're going to be a big success with this.
Great. Thank you so much. Take
care.
All
right, if I can help anytime, let me know. All right, guys.
Great. Thank you. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Again, that was Ron Galletti. He is the co-founder, owner of Born to Ride TV and Magazine, also the lead singer for Nancy Savage. His concert this weekend in Florida, Tampa, Florida. So you can go to borntoride.com and check the information out. Everybody, thank you for listening and joining in on the program. Again, Tim Jacquet with the Core Business Show. Everybody, have a great day. Also, to close out, what the producer is telling me, if you like these episodes, please Google Plus it or share with friends and family or colleagues. And if you download this show through iTunes, please write a review on the show. We really appreciate it, everybody. Have a great day. And thank you for listening to the Core Business Show. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.